2022. Brishus Maran Rabbanan, I think all of us are familiar with the phrase, the Lavan Bikesh Lakar Zakol. The Lavan sought or tempted to uproot, to destroy everything. This is a phrase that appears towards the beginning of the main body of the Maggid section of the Haggadah on Pesach night, when we start to fulfill the primary mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in accordance with the directive of the Mishnah, the last parak of Psachim, which tells us that we have to be Doresh Parshas Arami Obed Ovi. We have to expound and delve into the phrases and the words from the Psukim and the Parsha of Arami Obed Ovi, which is a Parsha that is found towards the end of the Chumash Dvarim and the Sedrik Yisovo. And that section contains, in a couple of Psukim, a synopsis of the events of the Shibud in Mitzrayim and of the Geula. And it's the phrases and words from those Psukim that we extrapolate in the main body of the Haggadah, taking each word and each phrase and showing what it meant and what the Medrash says about it and so on. And that section begins by stating, Tzeil Amad, go out and learn, go out and study, Mabikesh, Lov and Harami, Lasos, Liyakov Avinu. Go investigate what it is that Lavan attempted to do to Yaakov Avinu. And that's where we say that Yaakov, that Bikesh Lavan Lakor Es Hakol, that Lavan attempted to uproot, to destroy everything. And it's according to this understanding that the phrase Arami Oved Avi, and there are other understandings, but according to this understanding, the noun, the subject of that sentence, Arami Oved Avi, is Lavan. Lavan's the Arami, Lavan Arami. Oved, Oved with an Aleph, like an Abed Tabdun, Lahashmid L'Argul Abed, means to obliterate, to annihilate. Bikesh Lavan sought Arami Oved to annihilate Avi, our father Yaakov. And so clearly Lavan, although he's not really the subject of the rest of that section of the Haggadah, is set up as an arch villain, as an arch enemy of Yaakov. And the question that can be asked is, where exactly do we see that? Where do we see that Lavan attempted to destroy, to obliterate, to annihilate Yaakov? It's true, if you read through our parsha, so Lavan is not exactly what any of us would describe as a nice guy. He doesn't treat Yaakov well, it's true. At the beginning of the Sedra, he deceives him in terms of marrying his daughters, replacing Rachel with Leah at the last minute, as we know. And later on in the Sedra, Yaakov declares that over the years, Lavan changed his wages and tampered with his terms of employment multiple times. And at the end of the Sedra, Lavan chases after Yaakov and says to him, Yeshal Yadi Lasosim Chemra, I have the wherewithal and the strength to cause you harm. So Lavan was not a nice guy in terms of dealing with Yaakov, that's true. But where do we see that he tried to destroy him? Now, full disclosure, Rashi Chumash and Parshas Kisavo says that it's a reference indeed to that episode at the end of this week's Sedra, Mayetze, where Lavan chased after Yaakov, and indeed he says, Yesh Leil Yodi, I can have the strength, I have the ability, Lasli Emochem Ra, to harm you, and that's the idea that he tried to harm him. That's what Rashi says, and of course Rashi is to be taken very seriously. Ramban sometimes writes, Lo Mishpat HaBechora. But nonetheless, I'd like to suggest a different approach. And maybe the idea, in fact, is that Lavan did not want to physically destroy Yaakov. But rather, he wanted to wear down his emunah, to weaken his resolve, to get him to move away a little bit from the traditions that he came from Avram for a little bit, from his father Yitzchak, from the years that he spent, according to Chazal, in the yeshiva, the Academy of Shem and Aver, before he came to Haran. And Yaakov had certain traditions, and Yaakov had certain beliefs, and Lavan wanted to, in a nice way, wear Yaakov down. Why do you have to stick to these old traditions? Join us over here, become one of us. In fact, maybe we'll take on some of your beliefs, you'll take on some of our beliefs, and we'll all live happily ever after. Let's try that. You know, at the beginning of the Sedra, when Yaakov is startled to find out that he just married Leah instead of Rachel, he asks Lavan, what kind of business is this? I worked for your daughter Rachel, you gave me Leah. And Lavan's response is, that's not the way things are done around here. Well, yes, achein bimkomeno. Around here, we don't do things that way. Now, some interpret that as a shtach, as a dig. You know, as if he's telling him, you know, I heard what happened with the Bechor with you and your brother Esav. I don't know about where you come from, but around here, the oldest is the oldest. But leaving that aside, what perhaps Lavan was saying was, bimkomeno, you're here now. Here we have certain traditions of our own. Doesn't matter. I mean, I made a certain commitment to you, but we have other ideas here. Why don't you join us? And one can imagine when he switched his wages, he had reasons for switching his wages. And what Lavan wanted to do, in effect, almost was sweet talk Yaakov. Become a pal. We're buddies. He says at the beginning, Ach atzmi v'sari atzmi, my flesh and blood. Let's go together. Let's work together. You and I could build something wonderful together. And later on in the Seder, when Yaakov wants to sort of start out on his own, Lavan says to him, No matzasi chayim enecha nichashti by rechein Hashem miglorecha. I see that I'm benefiting from your presence. I'm becoming wealthy on your account. Find favor in my eyes. Let's be friends. It's a subtle threat. And it was a subtle wearing away at Yaakov. And it's a type of enemy that you don't really see. Because you don't really know that he's necessarily an enemy. What leads me to this conclusion? The Torah records something unbelievable. The night before, Lavan meets up with Yaakov after pursuing him, after Yaakov left with his family. And the Torah tells us, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chavdal, Ba'evel Elokim El Lavan Arami B'chalom HaLaila, Kodesh Baruch himself appeared to Lavan in a dream that night. And he said, Va'yom Elo, Hishom Elocha Pentedaber Yaakov Mitov Adra. Watch out, don't speak to Yaakov Mitov Adra. Not good, not bad. A little bit later, Lavan repeats that. He said, you know, Yeshel, I could have harmed you, but your God appeared to me, told me, Shomel Chomi Dabar Yaakov, Mitov Adra. What kind of expression is that, Mitov Adra? I would expect the Pasuk to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Lavan to leave him alone. Hands off, don't touch him, don't harm him. What's the idea, Mitov Adra? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously was well aware that Lavan's Tov, Lavan's friendliness, being a pal and a buddy, and let's work together. That's also very harmful for Yaakov. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, not only don't harm him, don't touch him, but even talking to him, don't sweet talk him. Don't present yourself as a friend or the type of guy who maybe hugs you and then he's stabbing you in the back with the knife. Stay away from him entirely. And that's what leads me to think, and others think, that the enemy represented by Lavan was an enemy in terms of culture, was an enemy in terms of belief. It was not a physical threat. It was not that Bikesh Lavan Lachor Sakol in the physical sense that he wanted to destroy Yaakov physically, but to destroy his resolve and weaken who he was as Yaakov Avinu. It's perhaps for this reason, the beginning of next week's Sedra, Pasuk says that Yaakov sends a message to Esav. He tells his messenger to say, in Lavan Garati. I'm spending all these years in Lavan Garati. And Chazal tell us, in Lavan Garati, V'tariag mitzvah shamarti. What's the idea? Who was Yaakov talking to? I mean, Esav care, he kept the mitzvah, he didn't keep the mitzvahs. He's talking to himself. I managed to hold on. I managed in that environment, when somebody, and perhaps other people working against me, I managed to hold on to the tariag mitzvahs. That's a big accomplishment. That's the threat which Lavan represented. And it's interesting, I believe, to draw a contrast. You know, we read the next week's Sedra by Yishlach, the Yaakov is terrified about his forthcoming meeting with Esav. He hasn't seen Esav in over 20 years. And the last thing we read about Esav in terms of his feelings about Yaakov was a pasuk towards the end of Parshas Toldos, where it says, Vayistom Esav is Yaakov ala brocha. He hated him, he despised him. Esav despised Yaakov, and he said, I'm going to kill him. The threat of Esav was a physical threat. I want it, he says it. I'm going to kill him. He hated him. He despised him. And therefore Yaakov is nervous about an impending meeting with Esav, especially when he hears that Esav has 400 guys accompanying him to him. Esav was a Chassidish Rebbe with, you know, guys around him. He had men who were looking for action. And Yaakov is terrified. How come we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov, to Esav, the night before, and warned Esav, hey, listen, don't harm him? I think the contrast is striking. Sometimes we don't see the contrast because it's a separate seder, you know. But it's almost back to back. Lavan gets a visit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hands off. Don't talk to him, good or bad. Esav, as far as we know, I mean, according to Chumash, no warning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stay away from him. And the answer may be because the threat of Esav was clear. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu figured and understood that Yaakov knew how to face such a threat. And he could face it himself. We know, Chazal tell us, Yaakov prepared himself in several different ways. He prepared a gift to appease him, and he prepared for war if necessary, prepared by davening and so on. Beginning of next week's Seder by Yishlach. Yaakov can figure out how to confront such an enemy. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to directly, in terms of what's in the Pesukim, intervene. Not so with the threat of Lavan. The threat of Lavan, this subtle threat of let's be friends, let's go together, you know, let's take some of your ideas, some of my ideas, ach, atzmi, sorry, otto, we're together, we're one big happy family, and you don't have to stick to all those beliefs. Lo yasa kein bimkomein, around here we do things differently, why don't you just become a little more modern, why don't you just adopt some of our practices, and we'll listen to some of yours. And it's very attractive. And it makes a lot of sense on one level. And it requires much more resolve, requires much more fortitude to stand up to that kind of enemy, such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that Yaakov might need a little extra help, a little extra intervention. He shom alecha midaber pentadaber Yaakov mitov adro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. Rabbosai, we live at a time today when Baruch Hashem, and unfortunately, I know that there's been a lot of talk the last number of weeks or so, the rise in anti-Semitism and so on in the country. But for the most part, the threat that we faced and we continue to face here, right now at least, is not really a physical threat. Certainly nothing comparable to that which most of our ancestors threatened or were threatened with. It's hard to believe, but people lived in almost constant fear. I remember hearing from my wife's grandmother, Lashon, where she lived in some shtetl in Russia somewhere. They often on Friday night had the soup, which we usually eat as one of the first courses. They had the soup last. Why? Because in case Friday night there were a lot of pogroms and riots against Jews, in case they'd have to run out and end the meal, at least they had the main course in their stomach. They didn't have to run out just with soup in their stomach. It's hard to imagine even living like that. I mean, who thinks like that? But these are people that think that way. Another unbelievable story that I heard from my father, Zichron Levracha, who was a Talmud of the Rav, and he heard from his grandfather that once Taka during a Pesach Seder, and all of you have heard about the blood libel and the accusations that Jews would kill Christian children and use the blood for baking matzahs and so on, and there are many books written about it, you can study about it, it's a fascinating and tragic accusation and tragic period for many Jews. My father told me that in the home of his grandfather, they were in the middle of the Seder, and they heard a thud by the front door. And they went to investigate, and it was wrapped in a small blanket, a dead infant. And his grandfather realized immediately what that meant. And it's hard to imagine this, but they took this dead infant and threw it into the fire. And not a half hour later, authorities came knocking at the door, accusing them of, and they said, what child, who child? They disposed of the body. Can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine? It's something so foreign to us. And we're not talking about 500 years ago. But that's what our ancestors lived with. Baruch Hashem, we don't live with that. But we live with a very different threat. I don't know the numbers. We speak about 6 million Nebuch lost in the Holocaust. How many more have been lost in the United States of America to assimilation and intermarriage? And how many other things there are people who, Baruch Hashem, are not lost, but have compromised in so many areas of Yadus, to the point that they've watered it down and have difficulty transmitting it to a subsequent generation. Those are the threats that we face. That's the threat of Lavan. And that's the threat of people telling us, Society recognizes this. Let's do what society, come on. Why does yeshiva have to be so rigid? Why does yeshiva have to so many, why are we so insistent to be so stringent about certain things? Let's be more open-minded. Let's be more welcoming. Won't that bring more people in? That's a good thing. We declare that this is a Kiddush Hashem, really, right? This activity is a Kiddush Hashem. And this thing is, you know, if we do this, it'll be, people think highly of us and so on. Depends what it is. We have to stick strong to our beliefs and be guided by our Torah authorities. There's a lot in society that's good, but there's also an awful lot in society that's terrible. There are so many things that represent a threat to our just our way of life in terms of Torah. Things which were, you know, unacceptable in public 10 years ago. Forget about, you know, my time, ancient history, when I was in YU, you know. But 10 years ago. And now, de rigueur, it's accepted in society. And it's in all the movies and all the TV shows and all the books. There's not a presentation that doesn't have this type of person and that type of person and glorify a certain lifestyles and so on. It's against the Torah. And we're influenced by it. It seeps in. And that's the threat that we face. That, I think, to an extent, is the threat of Lavan. On one hand, what Lavan said sounds wonderful. Let's be together. It sounds good. But you have to be alert to the danger, because sometimes you don't see it. Abbasai, we're less than 3 weeks now until Hanukkah. Wasn't that exactly the challenge of the time of Hanukkah, as opposed to Purim? Purim, the goal of Haman, stated in the Megillah. Lahashmi lahar gulabed is koyhudami narvad zakin tafin oshmi omechad. Right? Physical annihilation. He wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, plain and simple. On the 13th of Adar that year, it's going to be open season on Jews. That's what's declared. That was the original messages that Hashverosh sent out. No question. That's the enemy. What happened to Hanukkah? There was no movement to destroy, to attack, to kill Jews. There was no lahashmi lahargo labe. Eventually it was a war. Yes, in a war you fight a battle. But initially, it wasn't lahashmi lahargo labe. It was basically to let the Jews give up some of their beliefs and adopt some of our beliefs. And there's attraction to it. The Misyavnim, the Hellenists, which comprised a significant number of Jews at that time, were attracted to many things that were part of the Greek culture, and it was attractive. There are things about Greek culture that are still studied today, thousands of years later. There's Greek art and drama and philosophy and sports, the notion of beauty, Yaftel Kim Liefes. There's beauty to it. And it was attractive. And many Jews were attracted to it. And it's okay to be attracted to it as long as you're firmly planted in Dar HaMashalacha, in the Torah. And you know what the priorities are. Unfortunately, many Jews at that time, before the Chashmonaim saved the day, gave up too many parts of their Yiddishkeit to be attracted to the beauty of Greece and became Misyavim and became Hellenists. But that's the triumph of Hanukkah. The triumph of Hanukkah was the triumph of Torah. And someone's quipped, I think it was the Meir Shapiro, my Hanukkah, the Tanur Rabbanan, period. What's Hanukkah about? Tanur Rabbanan, people learned. Right, the famous Kasha of Beis Yosef. I mean, the Rashi has said before, it's been shown already. But the Kasha, known as the Kasha of Beis Yosef. Right, how come there are 8 days of Hanukkah, there was enough oil for one day, so there should only be 7 days, so 7 days of miracles. Everybody knows. There are many, many answers to that question. Years ago, I acquired a sefer that was called Ner Lameya. It has 100 answers to that Kasha. A few years ago, my son found an Eretz Yisrael, a sefer with 500 answers to that Kasha. Okay. Is there any other Kasha that there's so many answers? Hanukkah, you learn. My Hanukkah, the Tanur Rabbanan. The Torah survived. The goal of Hanukkah, it says in Al-Nisim, Lashkicham Torah Secha, that was the goal at that time. Lashkicham Torah Secha, L'Avrim Echakeret Tanacha, to pull us away from Torah and to get us to abandon the Chukim and the Mitzvahs and so on. That was it. No dying, no one's killing anybody. And many Jews gave in. We had to stand up and say, Ad Kan. So Yafta L'Kim Yefes, yeah, there's beauty. There are things that are attractive in the culture around us today too. I don't deny it. There are things that are worth exploring. There are things that are worth looking into. But the Yafta L'Kim Yefes, Yishkom B'Lay Shem, has to be on our terms. We have to figure out when we adopt certain things, it's at what expense. If a person identifies himself as modern Orthodox, centrist Orthodox, whatever term you want to use, good. It means I go to college, good. It means I support the state of Israel, good. Whatever it means. But does that mean that I don't have to be as careful about brachas as other people? Does that mean that minyanim shouldn't be as crowded in our communities, there are in other communities, even from Maris. Baruch Hashem has been many great strides in that direction. But unfortunately, sometimes people use it as a kaput. I once heard the Ron Lichtenstein's in Hol HaBracha say, I'm giving a din v'cheshbon, saying that if in our sleepaway camps, talking about in the modern Orthodox sleepaway camps, if in our sleepaway camps there's an hour less of learning every morning, is it because they're spending the other hour studying philosophy and literature? Or is it because they're playing more basketball? Right? I mean, you have to figure out, what are the priorities? Are we hiding behind something? There's greatness in the culture around us. And there are certain things which we should adopt. And we do want to be open. And we do want to encourage other people to participate. And we do want to bring about a Kiddush Hashem as often as possible. But the Yishkon Ba'alei Shem, we have to hold on to Alei Shem. We have to recognize that the Torah comes first. We need the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes. But that was the threat at the time of Lavan, and that was the threat at the time of Hanukkah. It's very interesting, with this I'll conclude. You look in the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Hanukkah, Paragimel, Hilchas Megillah and Hanukkah together. So Hanukkah, for two Prokham and Purim, and two Prokham and Hanukkah, so Hilchas Hanukkah begins with Paragimel. Interesting language of the Rambam. He talks about, first he tells the whole story of Hanukkah, the Neis, and then he says, Paragimel, Achagimel, Neis, Eiskinu, Chacham, Shavos, Hador, good. And he says, there's an isser of hesped and tainus of eulogies and fast on Chanukah like on Purim. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan like Kriyas HaMegillah. What's this bring up Purim for? And then Halacha Dalet. Kol Shechayah b'Kriyas HaMegillah, Chayah b'Adlokas Ner Chanukah. It's almost as if the Rambam is telling us that the mitzvah Adlokas Ner Chanukah is somehow dependent upon the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, or related to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. He keeps saying, Chanukah is a higher like Purim, and the mitzvahs are the same. But what do we care about Purim right now for? The Salvation of the Baruch Hu suggested, if you look in the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yudalet, the Gemara tells us that when they wanted to establish Purim as a holiday, it wasn't so pashut. There's an Isser Bal Tosif, not allowed to add on mitzvahs. So what gave them the right to declare this to be a holiday, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Neis of Purim? The Gemara says a Kal V'Chomer. We know that Klal Yisrael sang Shira and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's a mitzvah to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, God of the Levincha, etc. So the Kal V'Chomer, if we have such a holiday, Pesach, we were freed, me avdus l'chayrus, from slavery to freedom. So me misa l'chayim l'kol shekein. From death to life, certainly. Purim, I mean, our lives were at stake. So certainly, that's the Kal V'Chomer, and therefore, they're able to establish Purim. So Rav suggested, had they not established Purim, they could not have established Hanukkah. Purim was, so to speak, in a certain sense, the matir for Hanukkah. But where's the Kal V'Chomer? Where's the Kal V'Chomer? I understand Purim because if we celebrate the salvation from slavery to freedom, we should certainly celebrate a salvation from death back to life. The Kabbalah of Hanukkah, as we said, and certainly we have to celebrate the salvation from having almost lost the Torah, Lashkicham Torah Secha, to the reestablishing of the Torah by Hanukkah, the Tonar Bonin. So therefore, if we celebrate Purim based on that Kabbalah Homer from Pesach, we can celebrate Hanukkah based on the Kabbalah Homer in a different direction and say that, yes, we celebrate because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. We're able to reestablish the Mikdash and so on, the Avodas HaMikdash. And as we said before, my Hanukkah, the Tanur Rabbanan, to reestablish the primacy of Torah. We can benefit from a lot of things that society around us has to offer. There has to be Yafta Lekim Liyefez, of Yishkan Ba'alei Shem. We have to resist and be alert to the threat of the Lavan, the threat of Ach, Atzmi, sorry, Otto, we're all one and the same. Bim Komenu, here's how we do things. Be alert to that threat. Then we can benefit what the society has to offer to us. We keep our feet and our bodies and our heart firmly planted in the Torah, in the world of Torah and Yerushalayim. Thank you for listening. Have a good evening.